I'm John from Unqualified Gamers. Hello, a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. And get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You are listening to the Starling Tribune, a podcast dedicated to the Arrow TV show.
This guy gets more airtime than the Kardashians, right?
This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, situations, and stories are the properties of Time Warner. I am the Oracle, and this is your Tribune.
Welcome back to the Starling Tribune. I am Stargate Pioneer. My friends call me SP. And your reporters for this 9th episode of Season 4 of the Starling Tribune are Chris.
Excellent. You've got your bondage outfit on.
And Jenny.
Bad guy, remember?
And as I said before, I am SP. Why does it look like Santa Claus threw up in here? This podcast is recorded live on Thursday, December 10th, 2015, on the Blob streaming service. We're just a few persons that discuss the TV show Arrow. Just a little reminder that I am not a comic expert. No, I'm a sci-fi guy, and Star Wars is 1 week away. But I'm catching up on the comic lore a little bit, thanks to folks like Chris.
Why did you have to tell me Star Wars is a week away? I'm distracted now.
Squirrel. Instead of Squirrel, the new saying should be Star Wars.
Star Wars. Where?
That works.
And joining us today is a very special guest. This is a few months in the making. We're very glad to have her on. Her first time on the Gunna Geek Network as a guest host. Welcome, Jenny.
Thank you. Good to see you. And now I'm counting down on Star Wars. So.
Star Wars.
Nice.
I tried to buy some Star Wars comics at the comic store. I just happened to be in that area of town yesterday, and they were completely bought out at my local comic store.
Wait, you have like a Star Wars area of town?
No.
That would be awesome.
Actually, I do, but that's an entirely different thing to talk about.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Yeah, right. So, by the way, during this podcast, we'll be talking about what happened in the mid-season, winter, pre-Christmas, holidays, finale of the CW television show Arrow, as well as news articles and announcements that could impact future episodes across the DC network. It will contain spoilers, so consider yourself warned. And just a reminder, in the off weeks when we don't have a live episode, you can always catch up on our back catalog found at GunnaGeekNetwork.com, as well as there might be some lost episodes released this holiday season. Ooh, so watch out for that. Hey, Chris, yesterday, I assume it was yesterday, y'all watched Dark Waters, right?
Yeah.
But of course.
All right, Chris, break it down for me by the numbers.
So episode 9, we know, is entitled Dark Waters. It aired on Wednesday, December 9th, 2015. The director was John Baring. Writers were Rindy Miracle and Ben Sokolowski. And I'm pretty sure I saw Speedweed's name in the opening credits because I always see that name. And I'm like, sweet.
Yeah, and we already have a question in the blab. We're going to Star Wars over to it. And Stephen John Drew said, does anyone know if they burned their stunt double budget because Merlin's at the end was like STTOS all over. Yeah, okay.
The original series. It's like Kirk fighting the Gorn.
Right.
We'll get into that later. And it was a great episode. I have to admit, last night before I started Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., I watched the first half, and then I have to cut off because we have to prep, do the start to get on the air for Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. So I didn't see the second half of the episode. And then not only did we talk about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. last night, we talked about the first Jessica Jones episode, and it just went long. So by the time we were done, I was dead tired. I just went to bed. So I didn't see the second half until I was on the elliptical after work today. And it just bugged me all day. I was like, I got to see it. I got to see it. And I got to say, the second half of the episode was way better than the first half of the episode. All right. So let's just jump to the end right away. Jenny, since you're the guest, I'll throw this question out to you. What is your prediction? What's going on with the Felicity Meister?
I don't think she's dead. I think the grave scene said 6 months at the beginning, and it hasn't been, if we're trying to be super detailed and anal about it, it hasn't been 6 months. So I think it's a tease, and I think it was great, but I do have to say that I'm a little bit on the death fatigue side right now, that it doesn't always have to be a cliffhanger with a potential death, or is she or isn't she? So I don't think she is.
I think it had a little bit more meaning in this particular case, and I get what you're saying with the cliffhangers with the death, but in this particular case, you had the engagement, and then Oliver is clearly off his game because he doesn't even realize he's being ambushed. I'm like, hello, Oliver, get your head out of the clouds.
And you're in a limo, so come on, it's got to happen.
So, Chris, before I give my predictions, go ahead.
Oh, so we knew nobody was going to die this episode because we know it's December right now because we've seen the Hanukkah decorations, the Christmas trees. We know it's 6 months later from the premiere when someone dies. We know that Barry has just finished fighting Zoom, and that's why he couldn't be at the funeral. And we know that he has not been fighting Zoom for a few episodes lately. So they were setting it up to make us think that Felicity's going to die. And they made that promo for next season set up just perfectly to make you think it's her that's in there. I don't even think we'll see that funeral scene until in the later half of the back half.
Well, this, I will say, maybe they're doing a feint. Maybe they're going to hide Felicity, fake the death. She will go, you know, underground, so she's not a target for Damien anymore. And then the grave scene is going to be, you know, next week or in January 20th when they come back.
But that's not 6 months later.
It's true.
Unless they do a time jump, but the promo had her wheeling into ICU.
Yeah, they never tend to do time jumps in line with the season. They'll do a time jump like at the end of the season to get to the next one. But
you are talking about a universe that has experienced time dilation not only last year, but this year as well. Matter of fact, last week.
Yeah.
If we talk about the prime timeline, then we tend not to make jumps forward. Now, they'll undo things and go back and redo them, but then they'll move back to the same point where everything diverged.
So, if you're talking about the prime timeline, that means Vulcan is still alive and has not been exploded, right?
No, we're talking about Star Wars, not Star Trek.
Star Wars!
Star Wars!
All right. So, okay, we all agree that Felicity is not dead, but it still begs the question, then, who is in the grave? So, Jenny, what's your pick?
Quentin, I think that his story arc leads so well still, and we don't know what's going to happen in the back half of the season, but I think it leads so perfectly to that happening. It would be emotionally devastating for a lot of people, and it would be killing off a major character, which Greg Berlanti has been known to do. So I think it would work really well.
He has learned from the Joss Whedon school of directing and producing. Yes.
Yes, exactly.
Chris, you've given our predictions already, but have you changed at all, or are you still firm on your prediction?
I still lean Captain Lance. I mean, I think they could do a full swerve if they really want to screw with things. You make it be Oliver's baby mama, and then he's got to raise a kid by himself that he never told Felicity about, and there's your CW drama element. Mm-hmm. Do I think it's going to happen? No.
Hashtag Anna Hopkins for Captain Marvel, by the way.
That would be so CW.
I'm still leaning Captain Lance with an outside chance of it being Mama Smoke.
Oh,
not Mama Smoke. They need the comic relief. I love the character, Quentin Lance, and the actor has done a great job over the past few years, but I think it's time that he is killed. I still am in that camp, although at this point in time, it's wide open, really. It could be anybody except for Oliver, because he's still alive, right?
Right.
It's not Oliver and it's not Barry. Those are the only two things we know.
That we know for sure.
Yes.
It could be Barry, because he could have time traveled back in the past.
Oh, my head hurts.
Oh, man.
Did you just hear my brain snap as you said that?
Star Wars.
Yay!
Oh, and then the other important thing that happened at... Well, there's a lot of important things, so I'm going to keep saying that. But they got engaged! They got the rings on... He put a ring on it!
Yay! I'm so glad.
And he still hasn't told her about his kid, and that kind of bothers me a little bit.
Okay. You know what? It bothers me more that... Gosh, what's her name? Anna Hopkins' character.
Sandra
C. something, right?
Yeah, I can't remember her last name. I'm sure Sean knows and will let us know here in a moment.
Okay, anyway, so Anna Hopkins' character, Sandra, she is making Oliver not tell Felicity, and I think that is really completely and utterly long. So Sandra doesn't know that Oliver is the Green Arrow, so there is no reason for her to have said any of that. That is just selfish. That is not a good mama at all.
I think it's a setup. I think it's a great setup for what's going to happen later and pull around. I think that they're using it to set up a plot.
It's convenient storytelling right now, I think, to add drama to things. It felt a little contrived, the fact that she'd be like, I know that you haven't known your son, but you can't even tell your steady girlfriend who his a big part of your life. I was like,
ah. Is now your engaged fiance. Yeah. So Sean corrected us. It is not Sandra. It is Samantha Clayton. So we were right on the S and the C, but we got everything else wrong.
We fess up to our mistakes here on the Starling Tribune, though.
Immediately, if possible. And everybody knows that SP is always wrong, so let's just move on from that. Okay, the Diggles, what is going on with that?
Oh, my God.
Jenny, what is your take on that?
I love the whole storyline. I love everything about it. I think that the fact that Andy was off the drugs, couldn't have done it, was choosing to stay with Dark, I think the whole entire storyline is a great subplot. You don't usually get a great subplot, and especially poor Diggle has not gotten great subplots.
Especially in the crossover.
Exactly.
Oh, I totally thought he was going to die. But then he was with Thea and Felicity, and I was like, I could see Felicity and Diggle dying, but right now I can't see Thea dying, because then Malcolm would just nuke everything, and it would be game over.
And it could have been one of them, and that was what he would hold over everybody's head, or they accidentally get in the crossfire like what happened at the end. But I love the entire Diggle story that's going on right now. I think it's amazing, and I can't wait to see what they do with Andy.
So, Chris, what is your new theory on what's going on with the Diggles?
Andy is just twisted and evil. More machine than man. No, he's not actually a machine.
Oh, my God.
Star Wars.
Oh, you beat me to it. Damn it.
Now, in all seriousness, I think he's just so messed up from being part of the Hive machine for so long that even if he's off the drugs and things like that, there's psychological conditioning or something that comes into play. I could see him breaking the control long enough to have to save our Diggle, John Diggle's life at some point, and maybe that cost him his life, and then you conveniently have it so that he doesn't have to explain to his brother that he wanted to sleep with his brother's wife after he was dead, that they've kind of conveniently forgotten about post-season
one. I know,
that
kind of got left behind. Do you see Andy turning into somebody from the canon? Because that's what I started trying to get in the past two episodes.
Maybe.
Spartan. Oh, Andy.
Andy, not John. So I think Andy's going to be cannon fodder at some point. He's to be sacrificed.
Really?
That's what I'm thinking.
I do agree. I don't think there's any coming back from where he is. Okay, so there's a couple of things in the chat. Steven John Drew said, Diggle story good. Yeah, okay, that's very verbose, Steven. Way to go. Your geek card is revoked. And then Mad Hatter said, PTSD Diggle. And I will say, maybe. So my take on it is more of what Chris's take is on it, and that is it's like the Nazi mindset where you've been involved in the evil for so long. Yeah, it's, oh, I was just taking orders, and you feel trapped by it, and there's no good that can come from it, so you're trapped into the badness. It's like he can't face, I know he has, he's looked him straight in the eye, but it's like he can't face John. He's like, this family thing is over, just get over it and let me go, because we are completely different people than we once were. So, but that is intriguing. I don't think it was solved at all. There could be something that we are completely missing. Maybe he was meant to be captured. Maybe he is, you know, a ticking time bomb or something like that inside the lair, because Malcolm said it, the lair is the easiest ever to get into. So
he's implanted with a tracking device.
So yes, could have been a tracking device. We'll see. Although Damian is still interested in who the Arrow is, and he never found out. It would have been so cool if he unmasked Malcolm, because then that would have diverted his entire attention to the League, first of all, instead of Oliver or Star City. Although, what we saw at the end, maybe not. We'll talk about that later. And then, the attention would have been off of Oliver, because he wouldn't have been the Arrow. So, but it didn't happen. But the fight between Damian and Malcolm, oh, that was awesome.
It was great.
All right. I put a little note in the show notes over, how did you like Oliver? Because we didn't get any of it last week. How did you like him playing both the leader of Team Arrow and the mayoral candidate in this episode? How do you think he pulled that off? Jenny?
I loved it. I love the contradiction between his public persona. And again, that plays into the fact that Dark didn't guess, hasn't made the connections yet. So I love playing those parallel tracks. And in the past, sometimes I think it's come across, whether it was script, the way it was written, a bit stiff. I thought it, because probably of saving the mini-me Felicity, I think that it was a good writing, and I liked the two parallels, and that they didn't connect for Dark at the end. I love that, that he still doesn't know. The villain, actually, halfway through, doesn't know that they're the same person.
Yeah, it's a nice touch in a CW superhero show to have a secret identity remain intact.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they're not very closely guarded on either Flash or Arrow, so.
No, it's like there's a big neon sign across
their head. I was just
gonna
say, if you're a friend of Cisco, you know everybody on both teams now anyway.
Right.
Thanks, Barry.
Exactly.
Okay, this episode had a lot of secret revealed. We did talk about one that was kept, but touched on it before. Damien has a family. Have we seen that before? I don't remember seeing that before.
I don't believe so. And I like the way they showed it off, though. You've got the two varying viewpoints, Oliver and Felicity wounded and injured, and holiday music going on as Damien's walking up on a woman and a child. And you're like, what is he going to do? This guy's evil. He's going to do something to these guys. And I was like, no, this is his family. Oh, it's even creepier, the fact that he's got all of this going in motion and all these terrible things. And then he's just acting normal with the wife and kid. And you're like, whoa.
And they go back to some of the stuff he said, like, if that was my daughter, I'd put her down. That he said.
God.
So it's like that little girl's like, you have no idea who your father is. I'm so sorry. But oh, man, if they live, they're going to be messed up.
Mm-hmm. And I like the fact that from a psychotic villain, it gives that little bit of extra psychosis on top of it. Because like you said, Chris, it's that the two at the same time. It's happy seasonal Merry Christmas with the family, but killing people over here at the same time.
I'm going to compare and contrast. I'm going to cross the streams. I'm just going to tell you right ahead and compare and contrast. So you have Neil McDonough as Damien Dark, which I think one of the best villains. I realize that you had a great season one, season two villain in Deathstroke, but with Damien, it is, oh man, the man is so twisted, and he's funny and deadly all at the same time, and he's got this mysticism power about him, and you don't know how to counter it. Even when he meets the Flash for the first time, he's like, whoa, what's that? Yeah, new toy I can play with, you know, sort of thing. And then crossing the streams over to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and you've got Grant Ward, who I won't spoil anything for anybody that hasn't seen it, but Brett Dalton has just done an amazing job in the 2.5 years build up of his character to where he is now, which has completely changed from where it was in the beginning. And these are two of the best characters on TV right now.
And I think Neil McDonough, we all know what a great actor he is, and he could have phoned this in. It could have been a very non-layered approach to this villain. And instead, I think he's done a great job, obviously, with the writing and how Greg Berlanti has talked with him about it, but he's done a great job of giving it depth. And the same with Grant Ward's character. Now, it's had a much longer time, SP, to your point, to build up, to really see it be different from the beginning. Whereas Neil McDonough's had a much shorter time to give us that impact and not come off like a cartoon.
In this show, but Neil McDonough has been around for quite some time in various different shows. So we've seen him as an actor build, whereas Brett Dalton was brand new when he came on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Mm-hmm. So you can take that into consideration as well. All right. So what's up with the breathable air in the underground corn stalk thing and the Genesis and the Bloom? Please tell me it's something in the comics that I don't know about, Chris.
I was trying to make some kind of connection. I don't know. Some post-apocalypse cavern where they can nuke the earth above and still be able to live comfortably underground. I have no idea where they're going on this. And to be fair, I'm mostly a Marvel guy. My DC's a little shaky. So we'll have to wait and find out what Neil thinks on this because he's more the DC guy.
Yeah, Neil, we have a voicemail line. It is 1-612-888-CAVE or 612-888-2283. Please call in with your knowledge of DC Comics and tell us what this whole Genesis Bloom thing is.
Since most of the Arrow has been of the more recent canon, I don't know anything. It came across like an X-Files putting some sort of subplot in, and it was very jarring. Maybe I'm forgetting, because I used to read Green Arrow a long time ago, and then I stopped for a while and then picked up again when Geoff Johns took over, but I don't remember this at all, anything about it.
Yeah, neither do I. And I don't remember it from anything from Batman, where they regularly crib stuff from, too.
Yeah, good point.
So we also found out the secret of Felicity knowing that Quentin and her mom are getting it on, and she wants to forget everything about it.
But they look so happy together.
I know. Yay, Quentin, he got some.
They do. And I think this is a plausible thing that we can just wipe his ex-wife out of our minds at this moment.
River Song is gone.
She'll be here for the Christmas special.
Yeah. She will never be gone. She will never be gone.
That's awesome.
And was that it with the secrets? I tend to think that there was one more. No, I guess not.
There's so many secrets on these shows anymore. I lose track of some of them, I'll be honest.
Oh, and this was chock-a-block, too.
Yeah.
Malcolm as the Arrow. That was awesome. First of all, he fit into the costume.
Yeah, he's not really built like Stephen Amell, though, so.
And he's like 6 inches taller.
The hood didn't quite go all the way over his head.
Or the stuntman's head.
That's true.
Hey, it would have been great if like the pants were short, like they were floating. That would have been awesome.
I mean, they've done it before with Diggle before, and the costume magically fit. When you look at the actor who plays Diggle is jacked, and like his arms are bigger than Stephen Amell's, if you believe it.
How many people thought we were completely duped and that Roy was going to show up as the Arrow again?
Nah, I didn't buy it.
Just me, I guess. Okay.
No, I did.
Is that because you had foreknowledge that he hadn't shown up on the set?
Nah, not really. I mean, it was more just, there's been no hints dropped of anything about Roy. And you imagine they would show all over me, I need help somehow. I need to reach out to someone. And it would probably be Barry he'd be reaching out to first, because the Flash could be there like that.
As has happened, you know, it's the only way to describe certain aspects of the season of people getting from point A to point B. We do have a speedster in the universe.
This is true.
Bring in the Flash.
Okay, so what's up with the piece of paper that Mr. Queen got from the Amazo in the flashbacks? It's a map of Leon Yu, right? With supposedly a mystical piece on the island, right?
It's better topographical maps and stuff, I thought, so that they could try and map that to where the mystical stuff might be based off of the more generic, less defined map. So
right. We'll
see, I guess, in the back half of the season, quickly, what's going to happen with that.
Yeah, came across like a treasure map.
Right.
Yeah, I just don't know how Oliver's going to talk his way out of this one.
So I'm a kind of a connoisseur of shipwrecks, right? And one in particular, it fascinates me. And there's a whole community devoted to it.
Of all the things that I thought you would say after I'm a connoisseur of.
We could go pretty dirty here, but we're not going to. So anyway, the fact that the paper had not been degraded at all or rusted, basically unusable or whatever. Okay, they showed like flotation devices in the cargo hold or whatever. Come on, there's tons of crap that are on there. If you take a look at any of the pictures inside the Costa Concordia, which is a phenomenal case study in shipwrecks, you'll see that the thing is decimated. And also, I love the Deadliest Catch. So if you look at any of the ships that have been shipwrecked on the coast in any of the ports of harbor up there, like Dutch Harbor or whatever, and that's where the Amazo is, sort of like, you get those big waves in, they completely decimate it. It does not stay that way. Take a look at the Soviet cruiser, the Murmansk.
Right, and it erodes. Everything erodes. It's not what it was originally.
The waves just pound it and whatever. So, okay, definitely. And the one shark, but the no shark bite. So, I'm just saying that...
It's a little random.
They took a little bit out of what should have been in Leon Yu in the flashbacks in this one, I think.
Yeah.
I agree.
Stephen John Drew in the chat said, this is where you draw the line, SB, really? Yeah, okay.
Okay, so did anyone think it was a little ridiculous? A shark came out of nowhere and bit Oliver Queen as he was swimming back to the island.
I was totally expecting Jump the Shark memes instantly.
Yes, I was too. I was like, oh, they're going to have a Fonz moment here. And I saw nothing. I was like, Internet, you've let me down.
Chris, you and I will have to come up with our own so that we can put them out there.
I figure if you wait until Monday, Stephen Amell always does Meme Monday. So this next Monday, there'll probably be something that comes up he posts on Facebook or Twitter.
Has to.
So I thought what was going to happen was he was going to get it bit and Tatiana was going to take him back to the cave and use the opium product, just like in the comic book that we recently read in year one. And that still might happen, but it's not happening right now.
And that would have been a great tie-in.
It would have.
Really would have done a great job.
But maybe this is a swerve just because they knew we knew about year one.
They were listening to the podcast and they knew that we
knew. They changed everything up just because of that.
They backpedaled, said, no, can't do it.
So Oliver is a fast learner because he learned how to dive really quick. I don't think she showed him anything. It must have been
1 hour. And he wasn't even wet at all. His costume completely dry. And he's like, I've learned everything I need to know. I was like, what?
That's the best. It was like, okay, so you were down for what? 20 minutes, came out, dried, came back. Hey, hi, I'm good. I'm an expert now.
He's an expert in everything.
He has learned on this island. He can learn how to do everything he needs to do real quick. That was the kind of wink and nod to the audience that, yeah, we know this is a little ridiculous, but it just roll with it. It's comics.
Come on, guys. I can fix this radio. I watched my dad do it once.
Exactly.
That's a season one flashback for any new listener. Season one? It was season one, right? Yeah, it was season one.
I believe so, yes. Yeah.
Okay. So how about the father-daughter moments? We got a few of them in here. So let's talk about Malcolm and Thea.
He just loves his minions.
Okay, see? You just stole my line.
So, I don't know if you guys see the artist that does a lot of work that the Arrow writers and the actors retreat, Lord Mesa, did a hilarious one that is John Barrowman's Merlin with the minions from Despicable Me movie. And I was like, oh, this is hilarious.
It was spot on. It was just perfect. I liked it.
I'm so glad they're having so much fun with this. But let's talk about the serious moments, right, between Malcolm and Thea. well, I guess it's not serious, but the pinky swear promise, whatever, and the fact that there's no bloodlust, and the fact that Malcolm is scared beepless. He does not like Damien whatsoever. He goes in with a plan. We talked about the fight before, but he goes in with a plan and he knows it's just going to be a draw, or at least up to a point where he's just going to have to bug out of there. He's just doing a delaying action so everybody else can get out.
You got to remember, the previous Roz was at the very least wary of Damien Dark, if not scared of him as well, because of the falling out. So if that's a man who's been alive for hundreds of years, who's worried about this guy? This is Malcolm Merlyn, who's been alive for 40 years or so, barely dipped himself in the Lazarus pit, and is probably not quite the warrior that the last Roz was. I'd be scared too.
Yeah, and the last Roz basically said that Damien was his equal. They were the balance. So I would imagine, and I think that they've shown that really well in the writing, that Merlyn really feels threatened and scared at the same time. And so there's territorial versus, can I really ever take this guy? It's unlikely. And I love that. But to go back to the father-daughter moments, I think they've gotten better. I think the writing, I think the moments have gotten better over the past two seasons. And I really love any scene with Malcolm and Thea.
That's always fun, yeah.
It is, and he's always looking out for her. Like I said, if Thea would have died in the gas chamber, I know Malcolm would have literally nuked Star City.
Lost it.
Yeah, he would have just whatever. Well, I was just going to say that, to get back to the other conversation, then we'll go back to this one. So we're flip-flopping a little bit. But if you put Malcolm together with Nyssa, together with Oliver, I think they stand a chance against Damien, but alone, I don't think any of them has the real horses behind them to take him on and defeat him right now.
So I have another theory for something. Do you guys think he's going to resurrect Vandal Savage to help him against Hive, to protect him from Malcolm Merlyn? Is that part of the reason the resurrection happens?
Yeah, I just had this conversation yesterday where a bunch of us were saying that we think that that's why it was brought in. That was the whole reason. Yeah. Or I was thinking that it's a great opportunity for everybody to band together at the end or at some point in the back half of the season where they could even pull in some people from League of Tomorrow. So I think that there might be a, let's rally the troops to fight the big bad and bring in some Cross. Mm-hmm. So that's what we were talking about yesterday.
Hashtag It's All Connected, which can be found at #itsallconnected.com, by the way.
Nicely done. Star Wars.
No. The words #itsallconnected.com, type them in, see where it directs you. You'll be surprised. Okay.
Okay.
So, yeah, I really like the father-daughter moments between Malcolm and Thea. And I want to transition over to the other father-daughter pair, Quentin and Laurel. That was very interesting, where kind of all the secrets come out on the table now. And they have issues, but they're working well together.
It doesn't fracture them like it did in the past. When there was an issue in the past, they would just break apart and they'd be hurt feelings and things. And here it's, okay, I see why you had to do that, but you don't have to. There's a recurring theme in this show of, you don't have to protect me. I understand why you did it, but I can protect myself. You get it from Laurel talking to her father. You get it from Felicity repeatedly telling it to Oliver in this episode, too.
So Laurel also, in addition to these great moments, she kind of rebounded from last week. She was on point. I enjoyed having the Laurel character on this episode. Chris, you have been not Laurel's best fan out there. So what did you think about the character's involvement in this episode?
I didn't want her to die again.
Wow, damning with faint praise there.
She didn't have much to do in this episode. So in the parts that she was there for, it was all right. But it's not like she was a major player in it.
No, but she was a bigger player than she was last week.
Well, that's true. So I'm really hit or miss with this character. I mean, I like it when she's helpful and she's not having weird character traits where it's all about me. I have problems that don't compare to your problems. And I don't know. I've never been a huge fan. She's starting to grow on me again, which means they're going to do something in the back half of the season where they're going to make me hate her again. That's the way it is with this character. I'm just a pendulum. I'm like,
I don't ever like her. She drives me nuts. But I think that also just has a lot to do with how they write her, which is too bad.
Yes.
You know, when they did go down the path of Felicity's going to die a couple of times, I thought, well, at some point in time, if they stay true to the comics, there's going to have to be something that happens between Oliver and Felicity.
Yeah.
Maybe she dies. I think a lot of people will riot if she dies. So they're going to have to find something to fracture them apart. But I was thinking, if they out and out kill her, then that does open the floor for Laurel. But Laurel is not lovable right now to everybody. There are some people that enjoy her. There are some people that hate her.
Really?
Yeah.
There's people out there that enjoy her?
So here's the problem, though, with that, is that I don't think Katie Cassidy and Stephen Amell have very good chemistry on screen. I don't think so at all.
I know. She's not a bad actress. I just think that, in fact, I think she's a good actress, so, which means that brings it back to the writing. They've made it very stiff, very uncomfortable, and they never clicked, which was why it always worked for me that that didn't work out.
Chris, what do you think? At some point in time, they're going to roll it around?
Probably not, because the fans are not very much for it. And if you look at this show, they kind of, I won't say they cater to the fans, but they kind of take a read on what the fans are interested in and try and tailor things that way. Because remember, Felicity was supposed to be a bit character we got for a couple episodes in season one. They saw how well Emily Bette Rickards played off of Stephen Amell and vice versa. And like, we've got to keep her around just because these two actors work so well with each other. So,
right. Yeah. And it's not like they did a casting call like they have done with other roles in like the major universes right now, where they have like 2,500 people auditioning for some characters or whatever. So you're talking about a TV show that they wanted to get 2 million. That was the goal, 2 million people watching a week. And so they did the best they could with casting, but maybe not completely. I want to point out something that Mad Hatter said in the chat. He says that implied Felicity dumps him at the altar due to the secret kid. Maybe, but I just, that's out of character for Felicity. Felicity is very forgiving. She loves Oliver. And right now I don't see it, but I don't know.
I don't think the kid's going to come out that far along when they're at the altar. I think it's going to come out closer to a wedding date being set or something like that. And then you're going to have your dramatic tension of, oh my God, is this secret going to break them apart? You need to have your CW teen angst drama aspect come into
play.
Baby
mama could kill Felicity. So there's always that.
She is a badass on Defiance.
But baby mama doesn't want much to do with Oliver, so.
Mm-mm. That's true. And it certainly isn't close to canon. So, I mean, at mm-hmm. least they do try to stay within the universe of what's going on, usually.
Okay. So, we definitely saw a lot of magic this episode. We saw a force choke. We saw arrows get stopped. I mean, they're definitely going full bore with the... Exactly. They're definitely going full bore with the mysticism in this episode. Star Wars.
Force choke anyone?
Hey, Star I've got Darth Vader up here in the corner.
Okay. We've been laughing about it all week. The entire network shows this week have all had their tips of the hat to Star Wars this week. We had the Force choke going on here. We had Mark Hamill on The Flash. We had the Tatooine comment from Phil Coulson on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So I have to say, for all the writers, for all the shows, thank you very much for realizing that everybody is just gaga over Star Wars. Thanks for putting those references in. We appreciate it as fans. All right. So Christmas holiday, Christmas, it doesn't matter. They put it in, and thank you very much. I missed the holiday party. I missed the Christmas party. And even though it wasn't at the mansion, I did enjoy having it.
Yes, I don't think they're using that set anymore. Just like they're not using the Amazo sets. They made something look sort of like a boat interior. Went, close enough.
Okay, I had a brief moment that I took a look at that gas chamber and I went, Jessica Jones?
I thought the same thing.
That's awesome. I didn't think that. You're right.
And of course it's not. I took a look at it and it's built differently and everything, but it made you stop. It's like,
yeah,
it is. Okay. So
at first glance.
Right. At first glance, it's like, you got to be kidding me. And then I thought, wait a minute, is it the same? No, it's not even the same universe. It's not even filmed in. Oh my gosh, it was just fun.
No, because one's in New York, the other's in Vancouver.
This is true.
If they're sharing Vancouver sets, we've seen that. Yeah. So,
but we know Jessica Jones filmed on location in New York, same with Daredevil.
I don't know where their sound stages were, though.
I don't know on
Toronto,
that
Toronto, as far as I know.
Yeah.
Because it was easy and cheap.
Could be.
Yeah, because the Defiance place was being taken down. Yeah.
I know.
What is this Defiance you speak of?
Exactly.
Makes me sad.
This.
Nice.
I'm just going to put her around my... There
in
we
memoriam.
Go.
In memoriam. Yeah.
I can go get my shield badge if you want. I've got one upstairs.
I've got one of those up there, too. And Fury's toolbox. So, anyway. RAP Defiance. Hashtag Anna Hopkins for Captain Marvel. Okay.
That's a big hashtag.
No. RIP Defiance, separate. Hashtag Anna Hopkins for Captain Marvel.
Big hashtag.
It deserves a big hashtag. She's got big potential in that. Okay. I'm just going to say it again. I loved the fights in the warehouse at the end. Very well choreographed. You had a lot of action. The Damian Dark versus Malcolm. And then Oliver got in there. It was fun to watch.
Yes.
I love it.
I like fights.
Any good fight scene is fun.
Right. Chris, is there anything that we haven't covered in the episode that you want to cover or something that you want to highlight as your favorite?
I kind of enjoyed when Mama Smoke, sorry, crossing that stream too soon. I enjoyed it when Mama Smoke found the ring and you just hear this scream. You're like, oh my God, what's happening? Because there's been so many bad things happening. Like, oh my God, did Damian Dark make a move? Did they find a piece of Team Arrow equipment? And you're like, oh no, it's the ring.
Or I knew he loved you, but not that much.
Yeah, that was good.
That was. I like the bondage outfit. Jenny, it was your quote at the beginning, but the fact that Malcolm called it out. He was just so funny with his little quips. It's the easiest place to get into, the bondage outfit.
Yeah.
And yeah, calling it like it is. It does look like a bondage outfit.
And I also like that shot of easy place to get into after Oliver just made that joke about Star Labs in the previous episode, too. You're like, oh, both your lairs are easy to get into, basically.
Gunther, you're fired.
It's a great wink, wink, nudge, nudge when they do that, too, because they know that all the fans watching it are making those comments to themselves. It's like our own little text bubbles. So.
Right. Jenny, is there anything you want to point out for the episode?
As much as I adore fight scenes, I have to say I liked the Oliver Felicity engagement. So I liked the conversation. I liked the intensity of it. I thought it was quick but emotional. So I loved it. I thought they did a great job, especially with so much jam-packed in that episode.
This is why we need a non-guy on the episode to bring out the CW moments that we don't like to talk about.
Oh, excuse me, except for most of the time I like the fight scene. So this is kind of, I'm going against type for me, but it's all good.
I think it was very well scripted. I mean, the fact that she figured out that the ring was supposed to be in the souffle and Felicity ain't dumb. Okay, here's a question for you though. If she is pretend dead, does that then bring back Mr. Adam to...
Oh, to come check it out and see if she's okay?
No.
To Palmer Tech?
To Palmer Tech.
No, because he's traveling through time in Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah, but that's time travel, so he comes back right when this is over.
He could make an appearance. It would work.
If he lives, they might kill him.
I just thought of something. So this comes back January 20th, right? So yes. Legends of Tomorrow is the 21st, right?
Correct.
Right.
So they won't do that. No, they won't do that.
No, but they could. It could lead right into it.
Yeah, I guess. Bang, bang, back to back like mm-hmm. that. But I was talking about an extended period of time where Felicity would be in hiding.
No, it would be more like, I'm at your bedside. Oh, gotta go.
Was this the first time that we met Curtis's husband? I think it is.
It was.
Yeah.
And handsome he is.
Indeed.
This episode really was chock-a-block with changes, plot points, introduction, everybody in a line.
Well, was the mid-season finale.
That one's just for you, Stephen. Mid-season finale.
So you expect big things. I mean, my brain is on overload between all the shows. Supergirl, Flash, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Arrow. It's like, I need a break. Thank you very much for scheduling this holiday so I can have a TV break because I need to take it all in. Go watch Star Wars next week.
Star Wars?
Star Wars.
Star Wars. Nothing but Star Wars. Sorry, I'm just here for Bill Murray impression.
You got to think like a gopher and whenever... Be a gopher. Exactly. Don't drive angry. Don't drive angry.
Yes.
All right.
I love it.
So we saw the promo, very brief promo for the second half of the season. I think most of the scenes were actually from the next episode specifically. I don't think we got an entire season, although we did get a grave shot again in the promo. Yeah.
That's just creative editing.
Yeah. Not to beat a dead horse.
It's like How I Met Your Mother, right? They filmed the ending at the very beginning, and now they're cornered into it, so they can't change their minds. Somebody's got to die. Somebody's going in the grave. Okay, so we saw the promo. If you haven't checked it out, there will be a link in the show notes, so go have fun with that. And as always, Jenny, your favorite part of the podcast is when we get to the Easter eggs of the episode, right?
Yes, I love these.
All right, Chris, what do we got?
So we'll start out with some of the simple stuff. We see this pretty often, both Flash and Arrow. News 52 is back again. They love the number 52 in the DC comic universe, and they love it in the TV show. We saw multiple mic flags with Channel 52, News 52 logos on it. And if you watched Flash this week, he ran across a Channel 52 news helicopter's helicopter blades, too, in a pretty cool scene. Sorry to cross the streams, Crimson Comet.
That's okay. Their podcast won't be out for another month or two.
Touche.
So I'll take the next one, since I like Shipwreck so much. We did get the Amazo again. And as we discussed previously on the podcast, like a year and a half ago, the Amazo in the comics is actually an evil android created to take on the Justice League.
Created by Anthony Ivo.
Ivo, yes. The man who captained the freighter and Ollie was just swimming around inside it. And since Red Tornado is actually a hero in the comics, the Amazo actually turns into a similar villain. Chris, what do we have next?
So next, we've got a reference to Miss Fayed. If you remember, she was earlier in on the season. She was the woman who supposedly put the hit on Andy Diggle and then was killed for trying to have Double Down kill Damien. It seems like she's in fact alive somehow.
That's true. Or it could have been creative editing. And
or maybe it's a sister, a twin sister.
It's not something that we haven't seen on this show before.
Oh my God. Please,
now
no.
Obi-Wan's failure is complete. Sorry, Star Wars.
So, of course, we talked about it already. Yes, we actually got a Force choke. Damien took on Malcolm. Star Wars!
My favorite one. That was awesome.
It was. So, it was the week of Star Wars references. We got the big one this week, so that was cool.
And to wrap things up, we kind of get some Godfather references.
Yeah,
cliche of showing a villain doing something that isn't evil while having his goons kill everyone. It happens in the film a lot of the time. So, you got good old, brain fart. Damien Dark using all his minions to do everything while he just talks all about it.
Big bad guy speech.
Yep. The stereotypical bad guy speech, if you will.
Right.
You know, moving on into the news of the week, I gotta say, I'm kind of disappointed that Wing or Neil isn't here because these first two stories absolutely default to their expertise. So, Chris, what do we got?
So, first of all, Stephen Amell's been doing some interviews and he's always talking on Twitter. And he pretty much said that, he thinks his Arrow could beat Batman.
You know, Batman's kind of old now, so, you know.
Or apparently, anybody can beat Batman, apparently.
You know, you've got Stephen Amell versus Ben Affleck. If they're talking about physical brute strength, if they're talking about the salmon ladder, I think Stephen's got him beat. But if you're talking about, like, Academy Awards, yeah, Stephen, you're not there yet, buddy.
So if it was American Ninja Warrior, then Stephen Amell would win. But anything else, forget it. If it's an acting thing, nah.
I don't know. I think their acting cred is about the same right now. Just saying.
I think that's more of a diss on the current Batman than a bump up for poor Stephen
Full
Amell.
Full disclosure, I liked the original 89 Batman, and I've talked about it before, so this is no surprise. I just not been a Batman fan, especially with the Nolan series. So I did like Man of Steel, kind of intrigued now as to this new movie, the Batman versus Superman movie, but we'll see. It's just not go Marvel, I guess. I don't know what to say. We'll see. Okay, so there was a part two to this, wasn't there?
There was, in fact. Robbie Amell, his cousin, if you remember, who played Firestorm and Flash, he created a little bit of an uproar. There was a hilarious Twitter exchange between the two of them where he took him to task. Robbie Amell said, "Where do you get off saying you could beat up Batman? I thought we were family." Stephen Amell's response, "What the hell am I supposed to say, Uncle Bob? What if someone asked you if Firestorm could beat Batman?"
"I'm not Firestorm anymore, so it doesn't matter."
But he might be on Earth too.
Oh.
Okay, yeah. Okay, fair enough.
See?
That's true.
Or he could just be trapped on Earth too. We don't know.
Or he could have just bailed.
Nah, just be like, bail.
I can make more money in this universe. See?
Exactly. That would be awesome.
All right. So I, full disclosure again, I am not a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle fan because, I mean, I'm old. We discussed this on Gonna Geek this week. It just hit me wrong and my son wasn't old enough when they came around. So neither of us are really in this. But Chris, I know you are.
I was a big Turtles fan. I'm kind of lapsed. I didn't get huge into the Michael Bay, Transformers, not Ninja Turtles. Same with the Transformers too, I suppose. But, the trailer dropped yesterday for the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie, and why we bring that up here on the Starling Tribune and Arrow podcast? Because Casey Jones is played by one Stephen Amell, and we get some quick glances of him in Casey Jones' outfit, kicking a little butt. So go check out the new Ninja Turtles trailer if you want to see a look of Stephen Amell as Casey Jones.
Looking forward to that, I guess.
That's a ringing endorsement there, SP.
I know. I try to stay positive on everything. If Michael Bay is involved in something, I usually don't get excited over it. But
explosions!
Something I do get excited over is I was in the comic book store and I saw Green Arrow number 47 on the shelves. That was awesome.
I know Neil's excited about it based off what I see in the show notes about it. And I don't think I can do his comments justice because, full disclosure, I only read one DC comic book right now, and it's Batman.
I've been picking up the Green Arrow. Well, yeah, it's good stuff. I have not read it, though. The only thing I've read in the DC universe lately has been Green Arrow. So I have, full disclosure, I have not actually read it. I picked it up. Yes, it's in hard copy and it's behind the curtain there. So don't ask me to go get it. Never ask to look behind the curtain. We've got a little bit of Wizard of Oz thing going on here. But yes, it's out. So go take it. And next time we have Neil on the podcast, he can say something about it, or he can call in on our voicemail line. That's 612-888-CAVE or 612-888-2283. And then also, there is a great giveaway going on right now. Chris, tell me about it.
That's right. The Funko folks are giving away a Felicity Pop via their Twitter account. So if you go check out their Twitter, you can potentially win yourself a Felicity Smoke Funko Pop before it is released mainstream.
And I hear that Emily Bett Rickards will actually physically deliver it to you in person wearing nothing but her bathing suit, which I have recently seen pictures of her wearing.
This is not creepy at all.
I mean, seriously.
Emily, we love you in a good way, not the creepy way.
Well, if that happens, then I want Stephen Amell and Robbie Bell delivering anything, I don't care what, to my door.
You're the Amell fan, huh?
Yeah.
All right. And they roll up with a mobile salmon ladder.
I like this plan.
I would pay for that. That would be amazing.
It would.
They
would
need
it?
To do that. Do a giveaway. That would be awesome.
It would. And for charity, of course. All for charity. Because the MLs are big for charity. And thank you, because some people have to be. And by the way, today is the last day that you can contribute. And it actually might extend a day or two, but is the last day that you contribute to the CCL for Kids charity. So if you haven't done that, please go to the PayPal and pay CCL for Kids. That's CCL, the number 4, kids at comiccollectorlive, all one word, .com. Please go ahead and do that. All right. We have a voicemail. Jenny, since you're new to the podcast, can you guess who the voicemail is from?
I'm going to go with Cajun Sean.
No, he did not leave me a voicemail this week. Of course, Black Adam did. So here we go.
Hey guys, this is Adam calling in with feedback on tonight's episode of Arrow. So yeah, a lot happened there. And well, clearly they blew their entire shark budget for the season on Flash. And that's all I'm going to say about the flashbacks. But now on to the main story. I did like the whole Felicity moment in the bay cleanup bit before the attack with the mini Felicity. Yeah, the attacks were kind of what you expect. And what, is Donna living in Star City now? Or did she just visit again to meet Quentin for Hanukkah, in her case? And I rolled my eyes so hard when she was the one who found the ring, but yeah, I guess it worked out in the end. Well, maybe very temporarily, but we'll have to wait until next year to see, though, based on some stuff I've heard about future episodes and the fact that it's only been 3 months, not 6, which they actually made clear in this episode. Yeah, they're probably just teasing it really hard with the preview for the return from the holidays. For a second there, I thought that the fake Green Arrow might have been Roy, but then, oh yeah, duh, of course it's Malcolm. He's actually in the episode, and his interactions with Thea were priceless, and I had forgotten that Quentin didn't know that Malcolm was actually alive. And a lot of secrets came out because Laurel also found out about her dad being the double agent, and so did Hive. So we'll have to see how that progresses in the rest of the season. But it's still way up in the air who's in the grave. Seems like I have more candidates each week, not less. Well, can't wait to hear what you guys think. Talk to you later. Bye.
He's not too far off. It never seems to narrow down. You're just like, well, that person could die too, I guess.
Right. That's so true.
I know. I think it'll get narrowed down for us as we go further, because if you think about the last few episodes that like Moira was on, you kind of knew where it was headed.
That's true.
And if you didn't, you probably should have. So there you go. All right. If you are listening to this podcast and you like what you hear, we have a bevy of other podcasts. I counted them today. There are 18 podcasts that are on our network active right now. And Chris, why don't you tell us about one that people can go find and listen to?
So as I bring this up, I'll mention Neil put this in the show notes here. He wanted me to talk about episode 12 of Nerd Alert News, entitled Telltale Makes All the Games. In this episode, Chris, that's me, talks about the huge viewing numbers for the Captain America Civil War trailer, Carrie Fisher's opinion on the Slave Leia controversy, and the rumors that Apple may be ditching the traditional headphone jack to replace it with a lightning port. That, and touching a little bit of rapid-fire news on this latest episode of Nerd Alert News, you can find that over at GunnaGeekNetwork.com with a ton of other awesome shows. Like SP said, we're up to 18 shows on the network now, and we're always growing, so we got something for all your tastes.
And if you are a podcaster and you want to apply to be part of our network, go to GunnaGeek.com/about and find the form to apply to be part of the network. We are always looking for more geeky content because we love geeky people like Jenny. We like Jenny.
Oh, I love you guys.
That we do.
Thank you very much. Also, I want to point out that if you haven't listened to Nan Nerd Alert News number 12, I really recommend that you do, because the record on the Civil War trailer has a twist to it, and Chris's take on Carrie Fisher's Slave Leia controversy is really great. So if you haven't listened to it, please go listen to it. I did. I enjoy it.
Carrie Fisher's just fantastic, though, let's be honest. The press rounds she's making right now are highly entertaining. And I know, guys, we just went back to Star Wars, and I apologize, but it had to be brought up. Carrie Fisher's press tours have been great. Go look at her interview on Good Morning America if you need a really good laugh.
Mm-hmm. And if you want to get political, we're not going to get political right here, but if you want to get political, Harrison Ford had a great comeback to Mr. Trump as well.
Yes, so he did.
Go check those out. Next time that we come back will probably be before this, but the next episode of Arrow will be on January 20th, and it will be called Blood Debts. So I'm really excited to see this. We're going to see writers Oscar Balderrama and Sarah Tarkoff team up with director Jesse Warren. So it's going to be fun. And if you haven't checked out the promo yet, please go ahead and do that. And at some point in time, we will cover basically the trade paperback or graphic novel of Longbow Hunters. We might actually also cover the Arrow 2.5 graphic novel as well. So if you haven't read those yet, go stock up on them at your local comic book store, and we will be talking about them. So I just want to thank, well, first of all, I want to thank Jenny for joining us at the last minute tonight. That was great. Thank you very much for coming on, Jenny. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. It's a lot of fun. Thank you.
And I also want to thank all our listeners and viewers that download our podcast, that listen to both the live podcast on Spreaker and after the fact. You get the live podcast there before we actually get to release it, because we have to edit it. Yes, it takes a little while, but if you're if you're just jonesing for the podcast, you can catch the live version on Spreaker. Also, we have the replay that we will post on YouTube. And yes, guess what? The man who just said edit is the one who edits it. And thank you very much, Chris. Thank you very much to Heather for not only editing this podcast, but some of the podcasts from the past archives that haven't been out yet. So appreciate both of you for doing that, and all the listeners and viewers, as I said.
And also a huge thanks to everyone that's joined us tonight for the live Blab event. I know I've seen Cajun Sean in the chat room. I've seen Mad Hatter. I've seen Steven John Drew. I'm sure I've seen other folks whose names I'm forgetting. So if I am forgetting your names, thank you so much for joining us. We do this every Thursday, minus next week, because I think we're off and doing a back episode. But most Thursdays when Arrow is airing, we'll be doing this, and we'll be scattering in some other live episodes at 9 p.m. Eastern over at blab.im. Just search for Starling Tribune and you'll find us there. Don't forget, after the show, we'll open up the fourth seat. You guys are welcome to come chat with us, come hang out with us. And don't forget, a lot of our shows stream live over at geeks.live. That's the home of the Gunna Geek Network's live page. The next show that is live over there is All Things Good and Nerdy. That's Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern over at geeks.live.
And don't forget to go to iTunes and give us a 5-star review. And also to subscribe to us. We really appreciate we've gotten a lot of new subscribers this fall. So thank you very much for staying with us. We really appreciate it. We're getting content out on a more continual basis, thanks to people like Chris and Heather. So we would appreciate, and we have a lot of fun doing this. Jenny, it's fun listening to it, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's always a good time.
I was going to hope she said yes.
could have gone horribly. But
it could have, but in the magic of editing, we could have cut it out, but we wouldn't do that. Anyway, we do appreciate your reviews as well. So if you haven't given us a review, please do that. Give us a thumbs up on Stitcher. However you listen to us, please give us a like or or a thumbs up or a review. We really appreciate the feedback. We really do. We want to make this a more enjoyable experience for you because we like talking about it, but we release it for your enjoyment.
So, and if you want to get in touch with us, give us your opinions on something we've said, you want to beat me up for saying something you think is wrong, or just because I'm too focused on Star Wars on a Green Arrow TV show podcast, head on over to GunnaGeekNetwork.com. You'll find all of our contact information, and while you're there, check out the forums and all of the other great shows that are a part of the network. If you want to share your thoughts with us, head on over to our Facebook page, send us a tweet, or give us a call at 612-888-CAVE. That's 612-888-2283. Be like Black Adam. Send us voicemail. We love it.
We do. Thanks, guys. This was a fun episode. I really appreciate it. Chris, thank you very much for all your work behind the scenes. Jenny, thank you for showing up. I really appreciate it.
You bet.
And I think that about wraps it up for this week until we get to the post credits. Any last words before we sign off? At Roundtable Nerds?
Bondage.
At Jenny Steven?
Happy Christmaka.
By the way, if people are looking for you, where can they find you?
They can find me at Jenny Steven on Twitter, Geeks with Gray Hair Blab here on Blab, and at Jenny Steven on Facebook and LinkedIn as well.
And you can find me on Twitter at Stargate Pioneer, and I will be signing off with Happy Holidays, folks. We will definitely see you next year. Be safe, have fun, and yes, holidays is my last word. Oracle, I think we're done here.
This was the Starling Tribune. You can leave us feedback at GunnaGeek.com or check out our archive at StarlingTribune.com. Visit GunnaGeek.com for more podcasts. Music by Kevin MacLeod can be found at Incompetech.com. This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, stories, and situations are the property of Time Warner. No infringement is intended. We will see you for the next episode of CW's Arrow.
I had a blast. I love doing it. I love coming in and being an audience member. So being one of the chairs is nice. It was fun.
Well, we're glad you could join us for it. It's always fun to get some fresh blood into the Starling Tribune.
Isn't that the truth?
It is. We've had a rotating cast of characters since the get-go, and it's great to have new people on board.
I love it.
Chris, what was your favorite moment of the first half of the season?
Oh, that's tough. When Laurel got killed.
That's the visual that pops up. Laura getting obliterated by the atomic bomb.
Boom. And I was like, I'm free.
Let's see. My favorite part of the first half of the... Man, that's been so much. So, I like the lighter fare stuff, so...
So you're not saying when Laurel got blown up? Actually, in all seriousness, if I had to pick, it'd probably be John Constantine. The entire episode with him in it was my favorite this season.
Yeah, the tattoos, still curious about that. And
yeah, I thought it was going to come into play before when Damian tried to drain Oliver, but it didn't. So I'm wondering if it only comes into play in the flashbacks instead of in the current stuff.
You know, we didn't mention it during the podcast, but my theory about the political advisor, the campaign manager, he was being shot at as well. So I don't necessarily, of course, Damien doesn't care. He'll kill his own people. So
he gives zero craps about that.
We didn't talk about the drone and how Felicity took it down very easily. So there's that too. Chris, thank you very much for a successful half season. We really appreciate you coming on board as well with this. I know. We had some decisions to make in the summer, and you have definitely stepped up with the video editing, so thank you very much. And I will give a shout out to Neil. Thank you very much, sir. I know you'll be listening to this later. Thank you for all your hard work behind the scenes. For those of you that don't know, this podcast in pre-production is all Neil, and he does a phenomenal job behind it. He's a really deep Arrow fan. It kind of killed him that he was not able to be here tonight, but we both, Chris and I, understand why he can't be here. And we recognize that fact.
And I will say probably the next episode we record with him, we'll probably do Neil's impressions on the mid-season finale as part of that before we get into the topic of that episode.
Yeah, I was kidding about the voicemail before. There's no way that that's going to happen. He's going to be on the podcast and we're going to do that. And then also I will give a shout out to Wing for starting this podcast in the first place those many years ago. So thank you very much, Wing. For those of you that don't know, I have taken over the executive production of this podcast, but this podcast still is really Wing's podcast, and it's available to him anytime he wants to come back in. Also, Jay, for all of his help over the years. We really appreciate your involvement as well. For those of you that don't know, Jay created our logo. So I just want to say thank you very much. Happy holidays to all of you. Happy holidays, Mr. Wing. Happy holidays, Jay. And thank you very much for being part of the show. And you're welcome anytime back, as you know.
Yeah, everyone's saying Merry Christmas in the chat room, but better yet, Merry Star Wars, miss.
Bye. Thank you, guys. Thanks for a great 2015. We'll see you next year if we don't see you in the next couple of weeks.
Bye, guys. Merry Christmas.
Bye.